This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
Oh, bro, I'm low-key faded, bro.
Nick Markakis. It feels like they figured out this roster, and they would have been just fine without him.
Jimmy from LinkedIn.
This is so frustrating.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Mike, you're not going to believe this, dude. What? So I'm about to tweet this picture out of the crane. The crane truck.
Do not get any pictures of the guys involved in it. Do not get the. You have to black out the company name. Use the black dot.
So here's the deal. So they have hired this crane independently of their company. All right, it's Dukes and Bell. I've been talking about
so the whole neighborhood is on this now.
So here's the crazy thing, Mike. I go outside to take this picture because I want to tweet it out and say, hey, here's the crane I've been talking about. So you guys don't think I'm full of crap. Guy comes over me to me in this orange shirt. He's like the leader of the crew. And he walks over and he goes, Dukes? And Mike, I'm so embarrassed because I've been talking crap about these guys all day.
Hey, let the record reflect. I called him Jethro Bodine tree removal, okay?
So I literally go, huh? And he goes, Dukes, I knew it was you, man. You guys been talking crap about us all day long. He listens to the show. This whole crew that I've been talking about, I had no idea who the hell they were. So I'm going to tweet this picture out. They're about to get this tree off of my neighbor's house that fell during, Tropical Storm Zeta. So, yeah, man. But Mike, and I was like, because I didn't know who this guy was. He loves us. And he was like, man, I heard y'all talking crap about me earlier today. We had to go pick up this crane, and we're on our way back. I'm like, oh, my God. So I just had to tell that story.
Just apologize. Jeff Bodine. Earlier in the show, we're like, hey, we're stump busters. Ain't no tree stumped us yet. Heel.
And I was like, butt crack. Okay, let's move on, man. Hopefully things go well. These guys, they're really cool, though. It was just funny to run into a guy who I had no idea.
Wow, like, look at the size of that rig. Holy moly.
Unreal. All right, man, let's shift gears. Talk to our guy, Dave Archer. He joins us every week. And Dave, as you can see, we're in a great mood. I think Falcon fans are in a great mood because, listen, a win beats an L any day of the week, Dave. And last night, I talked about this earlier. The defense holds Carolina to a field goal in the second half.
You sound like Boone on Animal House, and Mike can throw that out there when he says, Otis, he loves us.
Shabalama ding dong.
He loves us. No, good night. No question, Carl. It was a night where you finished, right? You finished defensively. Now, you didn't finish offensively. 2 for 6 of the red zone is not good enough, but it was good enough last night because you played at a really high level defensively. You made some key plays on fourth down to get stops. But I thought that the defense played with an edge that I have not seen them play with. And I know you've talked about this, Mike. You know, sometimes you got to throw a little nastiness out there. And I thought that they showed that early in the game, much to, really, to my chagrin, and a lot of people are watching. But, you know, Deion Jones whacks Bridgewater right on the white, knocks him out of bounds into the, you know, the Gatorade cups. And the next thing you know, Charles Harris decapitates Bridgewater with a hit that he gets thrown out of the game for. And right. You start thinking, what the hell's going on here? But, you know, Keanu Neal drops the hammer on Davis, and you think, wow, this looks different, right? Because they were bringing the noise. They were bringing the mail last night defensively. And I thought it affected Carolina to a certain extent. It certainly affected the quarterback, because how many times did you see the quarterback after that Charles Harris hit step into a throw? I didn't see many. And you don't want to get to that length, but that's not how they play. They hadn't played with edge and nastiness, and they played nastiness last night on defense.
I know Dan Quinn was big on T-shirts. I like Raheem Morris's mean machine for the next week while we get ready for the Broncos. So, yeah, I mean, the red zone stuff, Matt and Julio, down the field. I know Matt missed Ridley wide open. Is that just a product of the flow and the pass rush? Because, I mean, there were some plays to be made.
No, he missed Ridley because he's trying to force it to Jones. That's a bad read by Matt. He'd be the first guy to tell you. I'm sure when he saw the tape today, he was kicking himself. Because you got double post there. You show run set. You got the slot to your left. You run double post on the safety. And so you're just going to throw opposite safety. As soon as Ridley crosses the safety's face, you let that go to the back pylon on the right side, and Boston can't make the play. But if you throw it backside, Boston's still in the play. And not to mention, Julio got held on the play as well. Should have been a penalty. But just a bad read by Ryan. Got to get the ball to Ridley there.
Charles Harris in the penalty. I asked this question today. Was it dirty or was it just late? Where do you lie on this whole Charles Harris thing that happened last night with Bridgewater?
It was all of that, Carl. It was all of that. It was a dirty hit. It was a late hit. It was, when you want to know what the crash dummy looks like when it hits the wall inside the car, that's what it looks like. If you saw those slow motion shots of Bridgewater's face, dangerous play. I don't condone it one iota, but I'll be honest with you guys. I mean, I'm looking for an edge, a nastiness. Mike, I know you love that, and we had not seen that, you don't want to say, hey, go out and try to tear the quarterback's head off literally.
Right.
But that's what Charles Harris tried to do last night. And it cost him it's going to cost him some money. That's going to probably be a $25,000 fine, and he may not get a play next week. But it affected the quarterback. There's no question about it.
No, I said on Twitter, it took a Buster first round pick to nearly cripple Teddy Bridgewater to get a win, but we'll take it. Hey, man, look, we should have probably won the first game against these guys. Now we had no Julio. Now if Ridley's out, I still want to talk about this week, but are you concerned against the Broncos? That's a hard team to handicap because they've been kind of schizophrenic too. We get an extra couple of days off because of the Thursday night.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how long Ridley's down. It looked like a sprain of his middle foot. Middle part of his foot got doubled over. It looked like chin fell on the back of his foot. Similar, if you remember, Mike, to what happened to Matt Ryan all the way back in 2009 when he missed that game. He got kind of folded over in that Tampa Bay game
where the
defender fell on his foot.
Yeah.
Yeah, fell. That's kind of what it is, sprained foot, sprained toe. I think it's probably what you're going to hear at some point about Calvin Ridley. Yeah, you're always concerned. I mean, the guy's a touchdown maker. I mean, are you kidding me? You look at his numbers. Compare his numbers to DJ Moore. They were drafted in the same draft, and Ridley has like 115 more yards. He's got like 5-6 more touchdowns, and maybe more than that. Maybe more like 10 more touchdowns than DJ Moore, who was selected two picks before by the Carolina Panthers. So that's a big loss, no question about it.
It's Dave Archer, analyst for our Atlanta Falcons here on Dukes and Bell, making his Friday visit. Normally, we're getting ready to talk about what's coming up Sunday. Obviously, Falcons get a few days off, and hopefully those days will pay off as they turn the page next week and get ready for Denver. One of the things we talked about is Todd Gurley and, how impressive he's been. Dave, how do you describe what we're getting from Gurley versus what we had heard that he wasn't? Because everybody said, oh, he's not the same guy. He won't be able to run the ball as much. They're not being reluctant in how they're using him, and now you're starting to see the reflection of that with touchdowns, the amount of carries, etc.
Well, I thought he would affect the game, Carl. We talked all the way back at the beginning of the season. How is Todd Gurley going to affect the game? I was convinced that he was going to affect the game in the red zone, and that's what he's done. I mean, he's been a red zone threat is what you needed. You needed a guy that could finish drives running the football. And how about the run he makes at the goal line to get his touchdown last night? You talk about, you got a couple of good blocks from a couple of guys, but then he ran through two defenders or three defenders at the two-yard line to punch that ball in the end zone, and he's done it a number of times. Now, when you look at his numbers and, 16, 18 carries for 46 yards, you're going, wow, he averaged under 3 yards a carry, but he affects the game from a physicality standpoint. Now, Todd's got to pick, dress up a couple things. You cannot run out of bounds with 3 minutes left in the game. That can't happen. I don't know what he was thinking there, but that's a mistake. Very similar to the mistake that was made at the end of the game last week. He makes a mistake this week. I mean, that's a play where you're going to make Matt Rhule burn a timeout,
right,
or you're going to run 40 seconds off the clock. You cannot go out of bounds there. So that's a huge mistake by Gurley. But he has affected the game physically, and it's been about in the red zone and his ability to punch it in the end zone to give you that run threat, Carl.
It is our man Dave Archer, guys, brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. Dial 678-ESOG now and fix your basement if you had flooding, all sorts of issues, especially after the weather we've had. Call them right now. Arch, Dante Fowler, we heard the rumors. Now, just rumors, attack maybe on the trade block. Dante, is he doing enough for you? I know we've seen some stops in the run game, but is he generating enough heat on the quarterback?
I thought he was better last night, Mike, and no, to answer your question, no. You paid him, what are you paying him, $15 million a year, and that's, you're paying him to go get the quarterback, and you're not getting that. So, but I do think he's been good in the run game. We talked about him at the beginning of the year as well. If you guys remember, I thought he was going to be a better force against the run. I thought that Beasley was soft against the run game. It allowed people to run on the perimeter. You have not seen teams do that to Atlanta. He's been pretty good. In fact, he made two really good stops down in the red zone to turn teams away on fourth down because of the ability to knife in and be physical against the run. But, again, why did you put him on the team? Why did you go get him? You went to get him to affect the passer. I thought he was better in this game. He got a sack in this game, and he got probably another sack, although he used his leg to get the sack, and that was the end back into the front end of the Charles Harris hit. But I thought he was much more active and much more present, if you will, in the pass game this weekend. Hopefully that will bode well and move forward for you next week.
As we talk about this team, you know, obviously last night the biggest difference, the two-minute defense able to come up with the stop, Bleedy Ray with the pick. It's the one thing, Archer, we haven't been able to do consistently, whether it was Cowboys, Bears, or Lions, but last night they did. How do you build on that? How much of a confidence builder was that when you talk about, okay, we've done our part offensively. Now it's in the defense's hands to win the game, and they hadn't been able to do it, but last night they did.
Yeah, Carl, I think that the whole game plan last night really is going to pay dividends down the road. I think that you're going to be able to take a lot of stock in what they did. This was a short passing attack that the last time you played them in Week 5, you gave up 9 plays of 15 yards or more, and you gave up 178 yards after catch. You didn't see any of that last night. You saw contested catches. You saw one time where Anderson got free from A.J. Terrell and had one run down the sideline. Other than that, you didn't see any run after the catch. You didn't see guys running free in the secondary. It was contested catches, defenders draped on the receivers. I thought they did a much better job with that. To me, that's something you can bank and you take forward. Now, as far as getting a stop at the end of the game, they had to have that happen, and it had to play out the way it did, I guess, for all of us, because A.J. Right. Terrell gets beat on a double move, which you cannot let happen, cannot get beat on the out and up and give up a 40-yard play to put them in position to win it. But they didn't break. They bent, but they didn't break on the play. Give credit to the veteran corner, the one corner that's in there that's played a lot of football, and Bleedy Ray, who makes the play to stop things. And that's what you've been looking for. You've been looking for a veteran to step up and make plays.
I had Robbie Anderson in fantasy, so I know they limited his butt last night. All right, big guy, real quick, you covered the ACC doing TV so many years. Clemson, any trouble this weekend against BC? Their backup guy, the next generation quarterback, supposed to be a rock star.
This guy is a beast, Mike. You're going to love this dude. He's right out of one of the monster movies. He's 6'5", 240 pounds, can throw the ball out of the stadium. Big kid that likes to run it. Good luck in pronouncing his name, and even better luck at pronouncing the guy that's going to back up his name. Go look at those two guys. I want you to share that with the audience after I get off. Tell me the names of the two quarterbacks that are going to be on the roster for the Clemson Tigers this weekend against Boston College, and you get a gold star. Or I'll give Mike a 50.
Hey, we tried. Carl, we know that West Durham's kryptonite are Polynesian names. We know this, Carl and Arch.
Arch, great job as always.
I don't think it's a problem, guys. I think Clemson handles their business. Djurkovic, though, the quarterback for BC, is a solid player. He could give you some problems if you allow him to.
Yeah, no doubt. We have the pronunciation as DJ O-E-A-Galele. The backup to DJ? Not sure. Not sure. Arch, take care, brother. We appreciate you.
All right, guys. See y'all.
Cool.
Okay, man. Hey, we had a chance to catch up with Charles Barkley, as we do in the Redmont Zone every Friday. Hear what Charles has to say about Trevor Lawrence. Would he go to the Jets if he was in Trevor's situation? Lawrence projected to be the first overall pick in the spring. You'll hear it next.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question.
All right, guys. The Fonz's birthday, Henry Winkler, turned 75 today, Carl. So your favorite TV character. It can be comedy. It can be drama. I know I loved all those procedural cop shows. My dad being a detective, I love Kojak. So, I mean, it'd be tough, man. I love Miami Vice, Sonny Crockett, love Tubbs. That's like, that's what we base our life on, Carl. You and I are Crockett and Tubbs. Who was your favorite character when you were a kid watching TV?
George Jefferson, man. George Jefferson. Hands down.
The Walk.
Hands down.
The whole
down.
Shebang, man.
Wheezy! Hold the whole giddy up. Yeah, man. You know, it's funny because during that time in the 80s, obviously you had the Jeffersons, in the late 70s, early 80s, you had, Good Times. There were very few all black sitcoms, but the Jeffersons, man, was George was my dude.
All right, let's see what the listeners have to say, and not just for millennials, guys, everybody. But it's funny, I said earlier, as I teased it, back when the TV stopped at 13, hey man, what do you got for us, buddy?
Hey man.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hey, man.
Hey, this is Marcus.
Hey, what's up, Marcus? Man. What's going on? Talk to us. Hey, man.
Surprise, surprise, surprise. On the file, baby. All day.
That's what's up.
That's awesome, up. Man. So far, we're one for one. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Your favorite TV character back in the day. Could be sitcom or drama, whatever you want, man.
Hey, man.
Hey man.
Child of the 70s had to be Steve Austin, the $6 million man.
Ooh, we can rebuild him, make him better, stronger, faster.
That's right.
Just that opening scene,
just the
man.
The music.
Dude, yeah, the opening scene was great. Oscar Goldman, the whole shebang. Good call, man. Good pull. Hey, man, you're on the radio. Your favorite TV character?
Hey, man. From back in the 70s, I've got to go with Colonel Hogan from Hogan's Heroes.
That was Robert one of my favorites.
Conrad.
Yeah. My sister used to make me watch that damn show, and now I love it. And you know what? It's still in black and white, and I'll watch it to this day, man.
Well, not Bob Conrad. It was Bob Crane. Bob Conrad was Baba Black Sheep, and that was a Wild Wild West. But yeah, Bob Crane was Hogan's Heroes. That was fun, man. Remember Schultz? I know nothing. Hogan, to the cool outfit, you. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you? And by the way, I had an African-American in the cast, too, for the late 60s sitcom, by the way.
Well, they were POWs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, but you know, you had a guy that was black on a show on TV, which was rare in the late 60s,
until
Link from Mod Squad got there.
That's
and
true.
The guy that pushed Ironsides around, these roles were not at a premium back then. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man. Yeah, back for me was Baker and Punch from Chips.
Yes, Ponch and John.
Wow.
Great,
Chips.
All right, Carl, for 5 bonus points, can you give us their call sign for the California Highway Patrol?
No, but I will tell you that my best friend's brother, that was his favorite show, and Mark was wheelchair bound, and he couldn't walk, but we'd put that show on, and Mark would sit and watch Chips for hours on end, and that's the only reason why I would watch it, because we'd end up having to watch what he wanted to watch. Unbelievable. No, I don't remember any of it.
7 Mary 3 and 7 Mary 4, Ponch and John. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What was your favorite characters on TV back in the day? Turn it down, Joe. What you got?
What's happening, Chief?
Hey, Chief.
Look here, Chief. I had 2 of them. One had to be Penny from Good Times,
ooh,
and the other one had to be, did I do that? Steve Urkel, Chief.
Urkel was great, man. Urkel was great.
Too funny, man. I was in college. I was already partying back then, but that's too damn funny. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
That's you.
Your favorite TV character from back in the day. What you got?
Well, look, what Homie the Clown was doing back in the Living Color when I was younger is the best thing ever.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. The
Homie don't play that.
Homie, don't play that. I used to love Fire Marshal Bell. That's become like our go-to laugh with Jim Carrey. But yeah, man, Homie the Clown with the cigarette hanging out, Carl.
Homie was great. I mean, all those characters, again, for those people who don't remember or maybe not old enough, In Living Color was like the opposite of what Saturday Night Live was at the time.
Right.
And created some of the best and biggest stars of this day and age with Jim Carrey and the Damon Wayans and Jamie Foxx. It was just unbelievable. Jennifer Lopez was a dancer on that show. It's incredible.
Right. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy boy. What you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
It's got to be Tim Conway, bar none. And on a side note, Dukes, I done had 10 people call me and ask, are you a Republican? Hell no!
By the way, that was a joke. That was a joke yesterday when I said that Carl was the chairman of the Black Republicans for Cobb County or something.
Yeah. And I said, I'm deep into politics. Which I am, but that was funny. That's funny, man.
Too funny.
All right, we got to get out of here, Ken.
Yeah, man, we got to go.
All right, bro, let's get out of here. Clear our throat!
Dukes and Bella are wrapping up another show, so it's time for... Let me clear my throat.
Thanks to our guest today, Charles Barkley, stopping by the show as always, guys. On Fridays, we talk to Dave Archer, CEO Steve Coonan from our Atlanta Hawks. Falcons get a win last night. Yeah, I'll say that again. They finished the game. Now can they build on it? We're coming back Monday. We'll talk plenty more about where this team goes as they get ready for their next opponent in Denver. We'll keep an eye out on what's happening with Calvin Ridley. And, Mike, as we head to the weekend as well, big college football going on. Obviously, Kentucky, Georgia. I think Georgia rolls. Do you?
Yeah, man. They can't run the ball. They can't really throw too well either. So I think, yes, despite the fact they beat Tennessee, Georgia takes care of business.
All right, man. Ken, great job behind the glass as always today. Appreciate you stepping in. Bo Morgan, executive producer of the program. Mike, let's get out of here on a Friday, man, and send us your picks, guys. Hashtag Dukes and Bell, tailgate at home 2020. Over the weekend, let us know what you're cooking. It doesn't matter, man. I know the weather cooled off. I did, creamy chicken corn chowder today. So you can do whatever you want to do. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Yeah, man, we're breaking in the new kitchen tonight with some Kobe beef burgers from Buckhead. Buckhead Butcher Shop, guys. Check them out. They're the best. All right, guys. Rumors apparently are flying already. It's a hot stove league. Apparently, it came to Ken Rosenthal and our buddy Dave O'Brien from The Athletic. The Braves could be interested in... a 39-year-old pitcher, Adam Wainwright, 15 seasons all with the Cardinals. He's been a money guy, three-time All-Star. If this is the first entree into free agency, you got to be friggin' killing me. Let them spend the money. Let Alex Anthopoulos spend. I know the baseball teams out there, some more than others, will be crying poverty. Liberty Media, our first entree into free agency, rumored to be Adam Wainwright. Dude, he's 39. Trevor Bauer. I'll repeat again, Trevor Bauer.
While you're talking baseball, I'll stay there. A.J. Hinch should never work in baseball again. But unfortunately, he's going to. How can you be the manager of a team that was stealing signs and ultimately won a World Series? The integrity of baseball was blown. And you were the guy that was behind it. A.J. Hinch, former Astros manager, guys, is now going to be the manager of the Detroit Tigers. He should never work in baseball again. There are a lot of things you can do. Cheating and sign stealing in the World Series is not one of them. If you love the show,
you tell your friends.
You don't.
You're running with Squidbilly to the gas station to get gas for your leaf blower.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.